Title of our message this morning is, would you read it with me? Who is the Antichrist? Based on the epistle lesson that Stephen read for us this morning, especially these verses, let no one in any way deceive you. For the return of our Lord will not come until the apostasy comes first, and the man of lawlessness is revealed, the son of destruction, who opposes and exalts himself above every so-called god or object of worship, displaying himself as being God. Today it's especially important that you follow the sermon outline provided for you in your handout. There's a lot of information to share, and especially take this home today to aid you in your further study of who is the Antichrist. Well, an antacid is a drug used to battle acid indigestion or heartburn. Anti-aircraft are guns on the ground to battle planes in the sky. An antibiotic is a chemical used to battle bacteria. Antifreeze is a substance to keep our car radiators from freezing. And antihistamine is a compound that opposes allergic reactions. An antiseptic is a substance that destroys microorganisms and decay. But who or what is the Antichrist, whom Paul in today's 2 Thessalonians text refers to as, quote, a man of lawlessness who opposes or who is anti-God? Jesus himself tells us in Matthew 24 that Antichrist is a false Christ, a false Messiah who has come to mislead God's people. Listen to Jesus' words in Matthew 24. He said, many false Christs and many false prophets will arise and show great signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect. See, said Jesus, I have told you beforehand. And St. John tells us, and please take note of this one, St. John tells us that Antichrist comes from within the church. He denies Christ. He deceives believers. 1 John writes, 1 John chapter 2, children, it is the last hour. And just as you have heard, Antichrist is coming. Even now, many antichrists have arisen. They went out from us, but never really were of us. And who is the liar but the one that denies that Jesus is the Christ? This, says John, is the Antichrist. Now, there are numerous biblical examples of this deceiver, this liar, this misleader. Notice your sermon outline. In the Old Testament, the prophet Ezekiel in chapter 39 tells us about a person whose nickname is Gog, G-O-G. Here is a 587 B.C. prophecy of an end-time enemy of God, whose defeat will bring glory to God. In the book of Daniel, next one on your list from chapters 7 and 11, in a 530 BC prophecy, we see a reference to an evil Greek king whose name was Antiochus IV. Antiochus eventually erects a statue to himself in the Jerusalem temple in place of anti-God. In 50 AD, now AD, the others were BC, in 50 AD. Today's epistle reading from 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, Paul tells us that we will know the Antichrist in the way that he publicly opposes God and even claims to be God himself. From 60 AD, from the pen of St. Matthew, Matthew quotes Jesus by making a point, I just read it to you earlier, there will be many Antichrist figures who will rise up to try to deceive God's people. And finally, from 90 AD, from the book of Revelation, we find a most curious reference. The wicked Roman Emperor Caesar Nero, the mass killer of Christians, is compared by John to an Antichrist figure. Nero is referred to in Revelation by a symbolic number, 666. Now, in Hebrew numerology, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 is a number for evil. So 666 simply means very evil. Revelation 13 says of Nero, quote, he deceives all who dwells on the earth. Let him who has understanding calculate the number of this beast, for his number is 666. We don't have to look just in the Bible to hear records and accounts, descriptions of the Antichrist. In biblical history, written after the scriptures, and in secular history, we find references to Antichrist. In 140 AD in literature, he's referred to as like a son of man, that is, a Messiah figure. In 155 AD, he's identified as the spirit of heresy, that is, false teaching. In 635 AD, he's identified with Muhammad and Islam. In 1202 AD, he's identified with false popes. In 550 AD, he's identified with the Roman Catholic Church. Now take note, especially with the teachings of that church that oppose the gospel and go contrary to the teaching of salvation by God's grace through faith. And in the 18th through the 20th centuries, and I haven't even tackled the 21st century, in the 18th through the 20th centuries, Antichrist is identified with Napoleon, with Kaiser Wilhelm, with Adolf Hitler, with the Ayatollah Khomeini. So the question is there an Antichrist? Or are there various Antichrists? There is a key New Testament passage that really sheds a lot of light on this. 1 John 4, 1-3. Let me read it to you and listen carefully. Beloved, many false prophets have gone out into the world, and by this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus has come into the flesh is from God. But every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist who is now already in the world. What have we learned? Two key points. There is a spirit of the Antichrist. That is, there is a sign of the Antichrist, and this is found in false teachings about Jesus throughout the ages. And what is the false teaching? That Jesus Christ is not God, who's come into the flesh and into our world to be the Savior. And secondly, the Scripture says there are many such false prophets and teachers from Jesus' time until now. Now here's where this sermon, which almost seems like a seminary lecture, comes to roost. What's the point for us today? The issue is our ability to identify the Antichrist spirit in our world and to flee from it. Want some examples of this Antichrist spirit today? Look at your sermon outline. Roman numeral 3. One prime example would be liberal, anti-biblical theology from within the church. Remember 1 John 2, who said, they came out from us, but were not really of us? It's sad but true. There are some churches today that call themselves Christian, but are denying the historic Christian biblical faith. They're denying biblical doctrine and leading others into false teaching. If you'd like a list of such churches and teachers, come see me sometime. Secondly, modern religious cults. Just in the last 2 weeks, as I come home late from the office, I found stuffed into my door some reading material from some well-intending but misled people. Modern religious cults today try to sound like the Christian church. They try to look like the Christian church, but they are not the Christian church, and they are deceiving people. Two clear examples of this today would be these two cults, the Mormons and the Jehovah's Witnesses. See me if you would like more information about what these groups are teaching. Well, look at the next one on your outline. Antichrist messages abound today in our secular media, newspapers, books, TV, radio, internet, movies, actors, media personalities, even in our public school systems. Have you noticed over the last 10 or 15 years, it seems like every year a new book is written, a new movie is made, a new TV series is produced that comes out and attacks our historic biblical Christian faith. Internet websites abound with the same kind of attacks. And I challenge you, if any other world religion would be attacked in this way, there would be public outcries of hate crimes and intolerance. But the Christian faith is fair game. Just Thursday morning, 6 o'clock in the morning, I was listening to the radio news. Two news reports I found, when I heard both of them, I just shook my head. One was the mayor of Toronto had just confessed to smoking crack cocaine. And his numbers went up in the popularity polls. And right after that, the news broadcaster said, there is a bill now being pushed into Ottawa, a legal bill, which if passed, and Mark Bunny, you'll appreciate this one, so will you, Joan McKenzie, a bill is being pushed that will be passed. If it's passed, anybody in the healthcare system, like a nurse or a healthcare aide or a doctor, will be forbidden to wear a cross necklace or a cross mark on their lapel, as if, for goodness sakes, to offend somebody. So you can smoke crack cocaine and your popularity goes up, but the cross of Jesus has to be taken off or covered up. This is the spirit of the Antichrist. There are so many examples of this. On a regular basis, your Christian faith is being attacked and ridiculed. As I said earlier, if other world religions were attacked in this way, in this country of ours that we pride ourselves being so open-minded, it couldn't go on. But let me ask you, why is this so? Well, why would the devil spend any time rallying his forces to attack false beliefs and false religions when he already has them in his back pocket? He has to attack the truth of God's word. Look at the next category, music. I don't need to stand here and tell you that music is a great power for good or for bad. And I would encourage each of you here to really listen to the messages of modern music, whether it's pop or country or rock and roll. Find the lyrics in print. So easy to do these days in the days of computers and the internet. Move beyond the catchy tunes and listen to the words and study them. Some of these words might really surprise you, and not in a good and godly way. The bottom line in all of these examples is this: Antichrist messages and values are being crammed down our throats. But armed with godly truth, you can look for and spot what the Bible calls the spirit of the Antichrist. Now I have a challenge for you. I'm beginning to do this in recent months. It's amazing the list I'm coming up with. For 1 month, at home, compare the messages you're hearing from TV shows, movies, internet, schools, and songs. Compare those messages with the truth of God's word. Write down your discoveries. Talk about them with each other. Come and talk to me about it if you want. One example would be just what I heard on the Thursday 6 o'clock radio program about the mayor and about the wearing of crosses. And now, something else quite important and personal. Lest we spend any more time this morning pointing our fingers at those Antichrist realities outside of us, let's look at our own lives. We need to address our own personal, ungodly attitudes and habits. For what do you need to repent in your life that tears others down, that leads others from God's truth, that discourages others from their walk in the Lord, that drives others from His church? Look into your own heart and behaviors. Our own self-righteousness, our own ungodly stubbornness and pride and lack of love for others are manifestations of the spirit of the Antichrist in our world today. And they can be used to hurt other individuals, families, and even a Christian congregation. Dear Holy Spirit of the living God, drive us to repentance and forgive us, and empower us to amend our actions and our attitudes for Jesus' sake. Finally, we must ask, who or what is behind this spirit of the Antichrist? The Bible makes it so clear in 1 Peter 5:8. Let me read it for you. Be of sober spirit. Be alert, for your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Holy Scripture also tells us in Ephesians 6, verse 12, listen carefully to this one, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against powers and wickedness, the ruler of the darkness of this present age. You see, it's not just ungodly people or ideas we face. We must never forget it is that liar, that deceiver, the devil that stands behind it all. It's been shared to me by people who have served in the military, and thinking of tomorrow's Remembrance Day. It's been shared to me by them that in the military, Once you know who your enemy is and how he works, half the battle has been won. Well, there's so much better news for you and me today. Would you turn your eyes here to the cross? On that old rugged cross of Calvary, our Lord Jesus faced for you and for me all the powers of sin, all the powers of death, all the powers of the devil and his Antichrist. On that cross, he took everything they could throw against him. And on Easter Sunday, he rose in glorious victory from death. This same victory he gives to you and to me, to his entire Christian church. In Matthew 16, we find Jesus' powerful words of promise to St. Peter and to us today. Listen to these words. Simon Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered, "You are Peter. And upon the rock, that is, of this confession of faith, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not overpower it." Wow! What a promise from our Lord Jesus. A promise guaranteed to us by his shed blood on the cross and his glorious resurrection from the grave. He will build his church. He will guard, strengthen, and empower you and me and all believers. The gates of hell, the demonic Antichrist forces of the devil, will not have the last word. Make no mistake about it. We are in a battle now. But the outcome of the war is assured. Jesus wins. One of the most unusual landmarks in the entire world that I've heard of is a tall granite monument on the western boundary of Russia. It says on the western side, as you come into Russia, in 1812, Emperor Napoleon from France invaded Russia and passed this way with 410,000 men. On the east side of the statue, going out of Russia, it says, in 1812, on this date, Emperor Napoleon left Russia with 9,000 men. It's a sarcastic and yet victorious message by the Russian people. Napoleon and his troops met their match and were all but destroyed in this campaign that was doomed to failure. In the same way, Holy Scripture records that the devil and his Antichrist forces have met their match at the cross of our Savior Jesus Christ and at his empty tomb. And one day, they will be completely destroyed at Christ's second coming on Judgment Day. And speaking of our Lord Jesus, listen to this promise that Scripture has for you and for me. From Romans 8, verse 37, Paul writes, "For we are more than conquerors through him who loved us and died for us." My dearly beloved, you are more than conquerors. The gates of hell will not overpower you. You are a child of the King. And with King Jesus, you will reign forever and ever. In Jesus' name, amen.